Goodness, goodness. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Norfolk campus. Hope Desert Pete was happy for you out in Norfolk. We had a good little time here today. I don't know if in the midst of all of the fun and frivolity, and you know what? I'm just going to pause for a second. I don't think we hit the lighting cue for me. It doesn't feel. It feels different. So if we, maybe it is. I don't know. Oh, there we go. Now it feels normal. You have that part thing in your job where, like, I don't know if you ever, someone sits in your chair at work, you know, and you get to work and you're like, something's different with my chair, right? So I just had that experience with the lights. Anyway, I don't know if amidst all the fun, you caught the story behind Desert Pete. He's wandering through the desert and he's thirsty and it's dry and dusty and comes across this little can of water and he can either drink it or he can listen to the note and he can pour it into the pump. The sucker washer thingy, and if he pours it in the pump, you know, then he's going to get all the water he wants. And made me think about those times. I don't know if this ever happens to you. I feel like once or twice a summer, we go to the beach, and either it's hotter than we thought it was going to be, or we stay longer than we thought, and we run out of water. And there's like that, you know, that, like, I don't know, just gets weird when you're around all the desert and the sand, the ocean, but you know, you're in the sand, and it's hot, and it's dusty, and you're thirsty, and you know, you kind of get afraid. I just put myself in Desert Pete's shoes there, and Desert Pete feels a little scary. So anyway, we thought Desert Pete would be a great and ridiculous introduction to this new series that we are talking about for the next couple of weeks called In God We Trust. And we are going to be talking for the next couple of weeks about how God wants us to think about something that we all love to talk about in church, and that is our money. And that is the money that God has given us to steward. And I want you to know right from the top that you can relax today. You can all, like if I said money and you just got real nervous and tension and anxious, number one, we already received the offering, so you can relax there. But number two, we've been saying around here for the last year that we are for the 757. We are for the 757. And I want you to know that you're part of the 757 and God is for you. And then when it comes to money, God wants more for you than he wants from you. He is on your side. In fact, today, I want to share with you something that God wants for you. And it's these two little words right here. God wants for you, when it comes to your money, he wants freedom and contentment. Now, how many of us would like to have, when we think about money, how many of us would like to have freedom and contentment? That sounds good. That sounds real good. I don't think most people in our world get to experience freedom and contentment. And that's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. That's what he wants for me. As I've been thinking and praying and wrestling through these messages, I want you to know that the invitation today for each of us is to take a step towards freedom and contentment. And I want you to know, if you've been a longtime follower of Jesus, you're around here regularly, Grace is your home church, I want you to know today that at the end of this message, there is no strong call for you to give. So you can doubly relax. I'm not saying we won't do that in the future, but I'm saying today, today that is not where this message ends. And if you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe you've just been coming for a little while, you're not sure, I'm so glad that you are here because I want you to know what your Heavenly Father wants for you. And what he wants for you is freedom and contentment. But here's the thing. The freedom and contentment that God offers us comes as we follow him. As we follow him. So I want to allow him to speak to us today. We're going to look at a passage in the Bible in the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a letter towards the end of the New Testament. Scholars don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. We just know that it was written to a group of Jewish Christians, and the first 10, 11, 12 chapters are explaining how Jesus fulfills the Old Testament law, and it's just a beautiful connection between Judaism and Jesus and what's happening in the church. And then in chapter 13, the author of Hebrews sort of changes tactics, and he gives us these like little pithy sayings about how life should work. And he talks about marriage, he talks about leadership, and he gives us just a couple thoughts about money. And I want to share these with you and then allow them to lead us today. So this is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5, he says this. This is what God would want to say to us today. Keep your lives free from the love of money. There it is, freedom. We said freedom and contentment. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Now, if this is difficult for you to think about personally because of your financial past, because of your financial present, because maybe you've had bad experiences with church in the past, I want you to think about maybe someone who's younger than you. I got the opportunity to speak to our middle school students this weekend at their Walking Wisely weekend. Bunch of middle school kids, Norfolk campus, Lynn Haven campus, all came together. And I didn't talk about this with them, but if I had been talking with middle school students and I'd been saying, you know, what I want for you when it comes to money in the future, and what do I want for you? I think I would say I want them to experience freedom financially. Keep your lives free from the love of money. I don't know too many people who would raise their hand and say, you know, my goal in life, I just every year by year, I just want to love money more. That's what I'm going for. I just want to love money more. I love money today, but I'm hoping next year I love it more. Nobody says that out loud. Keep your lives free from love of money. It's good advice. But where does the author of Hebrews really get this idea? And this is so, if you've never heard this before, I want to help us understand. So much of the New Testament are the apostles, Jesus' disciples, expounding on Jesus' teaching to the church that was founded in his name. So much of the New Testament is these authors, these church leaders, expounding on the teaching of Jesus and then opening it up to the church and helping us to apply it in our lives. And we can see, keep your lives free from the love of money. That is like directly out of something Jesus said. The Gospel of Matthew records a saying of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount. These are Jesus' words. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus said this. People knew it. Jesus' sayings were sort of shared over an oral tradition that existed 2,000 years ago. And then the author of Hebrews just sort of shortens this, to keep your lives free from the love of money. But Jesus was saying, look, when it comes to God and money, somebody's got to be first. You can't serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. So keep yourself free from the love of money. And I was thinking about why did Jesus say this, and why did Hebrews pick up on this? And here's the reason. I believe that money is a good servant, but a terrible master. Money is a good servant. Money will go and do what you tell it to do. And that's what we all do. We all send our money to accomplish things for us or for others. Money is a good servant, but a terrible master. And when money is your master, or when I am falling prey to the love of money, when I do not have freedom from the love of money, the thing I discover over and over and over again, and the thing you have discovered over and over and over again, is that money will never be satisfied. Money will never be satisfied. I mean, I'm going to ask you a question. I think you're all going to know the answer. It's because it's the same answer for all of us. How much money is enough money? How about just a little bit? Just a little bit more. Isn't it amazing? No matter how much you have, the answer to how much is enough is a little bit more, because money is never satisfied. Now, you know what it's like if at home you feel like you can never do enough to measure up. You know what it's like at work to work for a boss who's never satisfied. Why would I want money to be my master if money is never satisfied? That's why God comes to me today. He says, Eric, keep your life free from the love of money. And then he expands on it, and I think this is the brilliant part. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money, going back to Hebrews, and be content with what you have. Freedom and contentment, freedom and contentment, freedom and contentment. But I think this is brilliant, and here's why. When you say to me, or when I read, keep your life free from the love of money, to me anyway, that is very ambiguous. It's hard for me to know when I'm loving money and when I'm not, when I have genuine need and when I just want more stuff. But we all understand, I think, at least I know I do, we all understand contentment. See, and by connecting, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. By connecting, freedom and contentment. The author of Hebrews has given us a diagnostic tool that can help us understand if we are loving money. And this has been really convicting for me. I mean, you might think this message is hard to listen to. You should try writing it. It's awful. It's awful because I kept finding myself discontent. I mean, I kept seeing discontent everywhere. Things that I was completely happy with yesterday, you know, I'd come home and I'd be like, that's wrong, that's broke, you know? Why? Because discontent is in us, but it's helpful. Again, the end game here is freedom and contentment. But if we're going to get there, we have to know where we are. So here's just one example. I noticed this in my life as I was wrestling with this. What was my car? Now, I drive a perfectly fine car, and this is not the season in our family's life for me to go and buy a new car, but sometimes I am discontent with my car, not because I've ever broken down, not because it doesn't work, and, you know, all the, guys, it's great, it's fine, but honestly, whether or not I'm content with my car has very little to do with my car. Has everything to do with me. And I had to wrestle with this as I was wrestling through it. Lord, am I going to be content? And here's the thing. I noticed that when I was not content with my car, it was a reflection of the fact that I was loving money. Now, I want to unpack this for you, because when I say loving money, or you read loving money in the scriptures, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean you want to hoard cash, hoard cash, hoard cash. It means that we love what money will do for us to satisfy our contentment in the short term. Let me put it in a few categories for us here. Has money mastered my significance? So remember, if money's my master, I'm never going to be content because money is never satisfied. So if I am finding my significance in money, then I'm going to want to have more things so I can feel better about myself. This is where my car lives. If I'm embarrassed about my car, or I think I deserve a better car, it might be because I am feeling significant based on what I drive. And anytime our sense of personal significance is connected to something money can buy, we find ourselves loving money. We got to just look at our lives. Where is my significance as a person rooted in what I can buy? Now, I would guess there's some of us today, some of you, you're like me and you're thinking, I need to wrestle with that. And there are others of you that are thinking, Eric's got problems. What's wrong with that guy? Maybe get a new pastor. I don't know. Well, maybe that's not yours. Maybe it's not significance. Maybe for you, it's security. Has money mastered my security? Do you feel more secure the more you have? Do you have something in mind that if you can just get this much, then you will feel secure? See, if you're telling yourself that lie, it is a lie, because when you get there, you will not feel secure. You will not feel secure if money is your master. If I'm not believing that in the future God has my best in mind and I can trust him with my future and my security is in how he will care for me, but instead I'm looking at my bank balance and allowing that to give me security, I'm being mastered by money. Or let's just go like super, super, you know, bottom level. Maybe for you it's just spending. Maybe you just like to spend. Maybe you even have the money, but you just find yourself spending and spending and spending on things you don't really need, but you're bored or you're in pain. And so money tells you, hey, if you buy something, when Amazon comes to your house, you'll get that little dopamine hit. You get the dopamine hit, you know, when you hit buy now, one click, boom, it's brilliant because I get a little dopamine hit. And then when the package arrives, I get another one. And then I open it up and come on, let's be honest. How many times have I opened up an Amazon box because I can't remember what I bought? Come on, let's just be real. When that's happening, I'm probably spending in a way that is really me trying to satisfy a need that will never be satisfied by money. And so here's the thing, when we talk about money, here's the truth. Money is rarely about money. Money is rarely about money. Now, I don't want to be insensitive to those of you who are genuinely struggling financially. I mean, I know that there are a bunch of people here, and you would say, Eric, lucky for you, for me, money is about money. I get it, that there are people who it is hanging on, month to month to month to month. I get it, week to week. So I don't want to be insensitive. And I want us to elevate the conversation regardless of where you find yourself financially. And if you find yourself in that sort of week to week to week, Financial Peace University is the practical place to start. It will help you far more than this sermon ever will. But for all of us, money is rarely about money. And here's what drew me to this. Because the author of Hebrews, verse 5, he starts out, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Freedom and contentment. And then what he says next caught me completely off guard. Here's how he finishes the verse. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And I spent a lot of hours thinking about what in the world does never will I leave you, never will I forsake you have to do with freedom and contentment. And as I reflected on this, here's what I've come to, and I'm going to just tell you a short story that doesn't have to do with money, but hopefully it will drive us somewhere, and you might be able to connect with this in a different level. Several years ago, we did a sermon series about sex, and it went super well inside the church, but for a variety of reasons, there were some people outside of our church that didn't like it. And I got some fairly unkind social media hits that were pretty unpleasant. Got some mail to my house that was pretty bothersome. And that happened, I think it was week one. And I had to come back week two and, you know, preach the next week in this series. And I was sort of undone inside of myself. And I was nervous. And I knew there was something going on in me, but I didn't realize how significant it was until after the first service that day. I finished the service, you know, prayed, said amen, and then without even thinking, I found myself walking backstage to this side, and all the people are over here on this side backstage. It's just storage rooms. And I found myself, like on autopilot, walking into a storage room and sitting down on the floor behind a bunch of boxes. And I stopped as I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, Eric, what are you doing? What's happening? And I realized that I was literally afraid and literally hiding. I mean, it wasn't like a metaphor. Subconsciously, there was enough fear in me that I had gone somewhere to try to be safe. And as I sat back there and as I prayed and tried to process and just try to feel what was happening in my body and understand what was going on inside of me, what I knew was that the only way I was going to overcome this fear was to know that I was not alone. Because the fear in me was not going to be resolved with just me. And I needed to know that God was with me, and I needed to know that some other people were with me. And as I've reflected on this passage over the past couple weeks, I've just been struck by this little word here, because. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because. And everything in me, I'm sort of a linear logical guy. Everything in me wanted this to be like an A plus B equals C. And I wanted to be able to give you steps and process and just do this and this and this and this. And then at the end, freedom and contentment. And as I wrestled with it and as I prayed about it and as I just got stuck on this word, because freedom, free from the love of money, content with what you have. Why? Because why? Because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What I felt like I was saying in me, and you can wrestle with this, the reason it's so significant that he will never leave me or never forsake me is that money is rarely about money. Money is about fear. It's about fear. And freedom and contentment follow confronting our fear. And God wants you and he wants me to be free from the love of money and content with what I have. But that freedom and contentment is going to follow confronting our fear. What are we afraid of? Well, maybe I'm afraid that I'm not significant enough. And if I can just get more money, then I'll get the approval I want. Then I'll get the significance that I want. Then she'll find me, love me. Then they'll accept me. If I can just accomplish this at work, then I'll be at this level and I will have the approval I want. I'm afraid I'm not significant enough. I'm afraid I'm not secure enough. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know if God's really going to be with me. I don't know if he's going to provide. I'm not secure enough. I'm afraid. I'm afraid I don't have enough. And maybe for you that is a genuine, like, put food on the table fear. And maybe it's just a, I just want to spend, I just want to spend, I just want to spend. I don't want to have any limits. But I think at the heart of this is fear, which is why our Heavenly Father says it like this. He says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content. Freedom and contentment. Because, good news, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And I think that there is this freedom and contentment that is only found on the other side of digging into the truth that God will never leave you and he will never forsake you. There is something about knowing that God is with us and for us that we have to wrestle with emotionally in order to receive what God wants to say to us to help us practically. If we don't wrestle with the fear, if we just stay up here at the checkbook level and never get to the heart level. Because of course we want to be free from the love of money. And who doesn't want to be content? And yet it's so hard. So let's stop getting a list of things to do or not do. And let's lean into, because he has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So here's why I think this continues to be difficult for us. I think it's so hard, number one, because we think money issues are about money. I think money issues are about money. And here's why I think my money issues are about money. Because I think that if I had more money, I wouldn't have money issues. Am I the only one? No, none of the rest of you are like, you've never thought to yourself, if I just had more money, everything would be better. See, as soon as I think that, which I think it like all the time, I'm missing the fact that God wants me to have freedom and contentment. And freedom and contentment have nothing to do with how much money I have. So why am I such a fool? I think money's about money. But I think there's even something deeper than that. I think the more insidious part of this is that many of us are actually able to get more. See, we're actually able to get more money. We're able to get more money. We work a little bit harder. We find a side hustle. We get a raise. We accomplish. And maybe it's not in a year. Maybe it's over multiple years. But if you look back at what you were making 5 years ago, you're probably making more now than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We're able to accumulate more. And here's where this becomes such a challenge, especially in our affluent culture. And we are affluent as a culture historically and globally. We just are. We should get very comfortable saying we are affluent, all of us, compared to what people have had in the history of the world and compared to what most people have today. We are. We just need to be honest about that. And here's what happens. Well, I'll tell you a story and then you can figure it out for yourself. I invited some people over for dinner a couple weeks ago. Um, I I honestly, when I wrote this message a month and a half ago, I remembered who they were. I've forgotten it by the time I gave it on Monday to our little sermon review team. I'd forgotten who it was. But I invited some people over for dinner, and I wasn't clear about the fact that I was going to be providing dinner. And so some people came over, and they were ready to eat, and some people came over, and they had already eaten. And the people who had already eaten didn't want to eat again. Right? They didn't want to eat again because they'd already eaten. Because they were full, they didn't want to eat. And when we, because we accumulate more, have the opportunity to try once again to find our satisfaction in money, we have less of a hunger for God. The more opportunity I have to try in a new way to be satisfied by money, maybe it's I buy a new thing, I get a little more significance here, stock market has a better year, I'm feeling a little more secure. The more I can find my significance, my security, the more I can get another hit in spending, I've already eaten. And I am less hungry for what God has to say to me. But when I'm full over here, because I've leaned into money, I've actually fallen for the trap, right? Because what's the trap? The trap is this. Money is never satisfied. Money is never satisfied. So I feast on money. I get the quick hit. I feel better for a moment. I feel secure for a moment. It does work for a moment. I do feel significant for a moment. Spending does feel good for a moment. But then because it doesn't satisfy, now I'm insecure. Now I'm discontent. And silly me, I get mad at God. And I blame God. And I say, God, if you would just give me more, then I wouldn't feel like this. And because he loves us, he says to us, look, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Because as long as you're trying to satisfy yourself with money, it will work for a moment, but you will be dissatisfied because money is never satisfied. But once you're full over here, I've stopped feasting. I've stopped being hungry for what God wants to do in my life. And so when I'm disappointed, I don't have the God bucket full, so I get mad at him because this satisfied me. And he'll let it happen. He will let it happen to you again and again and again because money makes demands. God makes an invitation. Money makes demands. Money is never satisfied. Your Heavenly Father offers you an invitation. He invites you to believe that he will never leave you or forsake you. He invites you to bring all of your financial stress, all of the mess, all of the success, all of the significance. He invites you to bring the whole thing to him and acknowledge all of the fear and to invite him to help you know that he is with you and he is for you. Because the truth is, freedom and contentment follow confronting our fear. Freedom, financial freedom, freedom from the love of money and being content with what we have comes after we deal with our fear around money. So how can we help? Here's how I want to help. One way we want to help is that on your way out today, we're going to give you a memory verse for this series. The memory verse is the verse we looked at today. It's on this little index card. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. On the way out, you're going to get one of these. And I invite you to put this somewhere. I invite you to memorize it. I invite you to commit it to memory. Memorize the whole verse, not just the second half. Memorize the whole verse so that you can connect, so that I can connect in my heart. Freedom and contentment. Follow. Confronting my fear as I recognize God is with me and he's for me. I want to give you this on the way out. And then here's what you can do with it. We'll just try to summarize it. Number one, acknowledge your fear. Where are you afraid? What is it around money that gets in your heart? And you might not know right away. Maybe you need to sit with it. Maybe you need to spend some time. but get to the fear and then get on your knees and beg God to help you believe. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Acknowledge your fear. Lean into that. And then secondly, ask God what to do. Ask God what to do. But until we believe, until you believe that he's with you, until I really believe that he's for me, I'm going to be honest. I don't care what God wants me to do. So wrestle with your fear. And as you wrestle down your fear, say to God, God, what do you want me to do? And he will lead you in a path that is free from the love of money and will lead you to be content with what you have. And next week, we'll talk a little bit more about how he can lead us along that path. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would do what only you can do, and that is to free our hearts from the love of money, to make us content with what we have. And would you do this as we believe deeper and deeper and deeper in our bones that never will you leave us and never will you forsake us. This miracle has to come from you. We pray that it would. In Jesus' name. Amen.